of the 300-calorie burner. Wait, let me guess. You jumped him? She glances at me and offers a sly little grin. Duh. Gee, I wonder how I knew you'd be turned on from learning your man could ride a unicycle. She winks. Could it be because you know me so well? I hit the end button and step off the machine, my heart pounding a thank you for working out rhythm. Amy follows, and as we head to the locker room, my phone chirps, a tweeting sound that's one of a handful allowed through the do not disturb barrier. Those are for my best friends, Amy and Peyton, and for my clients. Alas, Tweety signals neither Peyton nor a client. The bird trills once more, then stops. I groan. Because little sisters. With dread, I go into the locker room and wash my hands, take 10 seconds to dry them, and finish right as the phone warbles once more. Because Luna doesn't call like a normal person. She calls like, well, like Luna. Rings twice, hangs up. Calls again 10 seconds later. I've told her countless times this trick is unnecessary, that my phone does this handy little thing where it blasts her name across the screen. Peeta. Fine, that is the name I use because that's who she is. And okay, it does say Peeta, who I love, because I need the reminder. I love this crazy girl madly, even when she plays her childhood phone games. I slide my thumb across the screen as a half-dressed gray-haired woman in the corner of the locker room stares ice picks at me. She points to the sign near the door, stabbing the air with her finger. No cell phone pictures. Taking a photo in a locker room is against the law. I'm not taking a photo. I'm taking a call, I say to her. Sheesh. I wasn't going to snap a shot of her for Instagram. And that's not simply because I'm not a lawbreaker. She's neither male nor reading a book. Those are the only stranger shots I take. I motion to Amy that I'm on the phone. Then I march back out into the hallway, speaking to Luna. Kit Kat Club, you've reached Sally Bowles. Please leave a message and I will return your call at a not ungodly hour of the morning. Giggles float across the line like bubbles blown through the summer breeze. Lo, you're so funny. I love cabaret. Thank you. Please deposit 50 cents if you ever want this person to answer a call again, I say. Because even though I'm wide awake, it isn't even 7. Calling at this hour should be illegal. More laughter spills through the phone. How do you do that? You're so fun at 9:30 in the morning, Luna says, her words gliding out like a song. I'm convinced she's a nightingale reincarnated. She also lacks the ability to understand little things like, say, time zones. Luna, it's not even 9:30 where you are. You're 7 hours ahead. I pull the phone from my ear to check the time in Athens, considering whether I can craft a voodoo doll of the phone because I can't make one of Luna. And I've tried. Dear God, have I ever tried. It's 1:30 where you are, and it's 6:30 in New York. That's ungodly. This is a time reserved for vampires, ghosts, goblins, zombies, and New Yorkers who've adopted new workout routines and are trying to stick to them. She gasps. Such a shuddery little thing, my sister. Lo, don't talk about zombies and vampires. You know I can't handle scary things. I didn't get your horror-loving genes. Or your morning workout drive either, but you're awake. Yay, she says, clapping. I thought you'd be asleep. You thought I'd be asleep, but you called anyway? Though the question doesn't really matter. Luna does what Luna wants. I focus on the mission critical issues. Are you dying, sick, in jail, in trouble, drugged, or being held captive by an alien billionaire? No, God, no, she says. Those all sound horrible, even the billionaire. Besides, who needs money when you can have love instead? Who said alien billionaires were incapable of love? I've always thought they were. No. Studies have shown some species of alien billionaires have hearts, I deadpan as I stop at the water fountain for a drink. When I finish, I say, and since you're not in custody, in a billionaire's chamber, or dead, I have to ask, is Rowan dead? I'm guessing no, because if Rowan were dead, I don't think you'd sound so happy, despite the dream you had the other night. Just because we had a fight before we left for the cruise doesn't mean I want him dead. I like him alive, and that's how he is right now. Alive and happy next to me because we